praise God together. Thank you for responding to Shane's leadership in that enthusiastic singing. There are thoughts that usually jump out at us as we sing these hymns. This one really hit me just a moment ago. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with his love he befriend thee. These words were written in the 1600s. Music was set then too, according to what it says here. And I'm thinking, wow, another example of that which is old, standing the test of time and blessing many people. This morning, I don't have a neat little subject that I'm going to lead you to think. I prefer it to be worshipful, but somehow today I've got three observations that have hit me from the past days. The first is just an acknowledgement of the day that we're in. We call it Father's Day, and what I'm going to say fits any day of the year, but I'm going to make observations about fatherhood first. When we think about fatherhood, do we think of vision, of sacrifice, of courage, availability, and love? Well, we could think of other things about fatherhood too, but when fatherhood is godly, we think of these things. From these character qualities comes the foundation for authority, for influence. And the Bible says a number of things about fatherhood. In Exodus 20, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. When we think of the majesty of the moment in which God was speaking forth these Ten Commandments, amidst all the sound effects and so on that are recorded, sight and sound, I guess it was, it must have been a very majestic time. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then in Psalm 103, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Many times we think in the other order, that as we become like our Father in heaven, then we will be like that. In this case, the writer turned it around and thought about the earthly father pitying and being something that God would do in helping people to understand how God is. So it can work either direction, and yet we know who is the perfect father. A few years ago, I came across this little poem that just doesn't make it out of my Bible because I loved it so much. I was looking for a card for my father, thought it fitted well, and so here it is. A dad is a person who's loving and kind, who so often knows what you have on your mind. He's someone who listens, suggests, and defends. A dad can be one of your very best friends. He's proud of your triumphs, and when things go wrong, a dad can be patient and helpful and strong. In all that you do, a dad's love plays a part. There's always a place for him deep in your heart. And each year that passes, you're even more glad, more grateful and proud just to call him your dad. In Psalm 4, in Proverbs 4, Solomon says, hear, my children, the instructions of a father, and give attention to those who know understanding. With experience and with the position of fatherhood come good instructions. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father. Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of the old men, and the glory of children is their father. It seems like we tend, as preachers and teachers, to run right on by fatherhood. And I don't know yet what this service will unfold, but I decided that I would at least give this introductory nod to a day that symbolizes what we trust every day of the year can be in experience. Second thing that I'd like to think about is the concept of incarnation. Christians everywhere, I believe, hold something special here about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that the heavenly God could somehow become partaker of earthly flesh, of human flesh. And it's so central to the gospel message, yea, to the message of all of the Bible, that God seeks a relationship with people. And somehow through Jesus becoming flesh, God, who sometimes seems remote and unapproachable, became near and approachable. And people gathered around him, just flocked around him to hear him speak. For he said things that challenged them, pushed them, exemplified what God thinks. And in part, at least, people began to understand. And we're still learning to understand what God says, what God means, what Jesus meant. And I'm going to read from John 15 a few verses, and if this blesses you to turn to the text, you may, but I'm going to be leaving it soon. But Jesus said something that I think touches on incarnation of a little broader sense. When in verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." I can't explain everything about this either, but I see a number of things here that if Jesus abides in us, now this is something that requires some faith, doesn't it? But again, as he does, as we learn, as we accept him, and as we desire his presence, then he works in us, and we can bear much fruit. Boggle our mind, right? We come to him in need, and we never really think about what he's going to do. You know, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. I've heard children frame God's truth in their guileless and bold ways. I remember a few years ago standing at the local graveyard, and Malin Sussman came up to me, and he asked about my brother Linford, who had worked there some time ago, and he quoted Linford to say that there are only two ways, the way of God and the way of Satan, the way to heaven and the way to hell. He'd gotten something very basic from his Bible training. And God's goodness I've observed in various people, but most recently, this is secondhand, but I'll cloak it a little bit. I won't tell you the names today, but if you want to inquire, I'll talk about it. But two of my employees have their lives that are intertwining in a unique way right now. One of my employees was incarcerated a number of years ago, and another one of my employees was conceived out of wedlock. And the one that raped was also put into prison. And so now, after years, there have been two meetings of this son that was born out of wedlock with his father, who's now out of prison. And the intermediary, by God's design, is another of our employees who happened to serve prison time with this father. And he spoke with a sense of awe. on Friday morning as he explained to me how God worked in the bringing together of family members with this one that had sinned against their family member and against the extended family. You know, when Joseph said, "How could I do this great sin against God?" he had a concept of how that sinning against one sins against many people and God. And I see my time has already fled. So I will race on. But in this example, there was a powerful and moving time in which people forgave. And this kind of an experience is God working, God's character coming forth, because hurts can be responded to in various ways. And we want to have patience with each other when we can't quickly forgive. But we also want to encourage that we keep coming back to the Father and to Jesus. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. The third subject will just be mentioned. Balance. We all need balance. This one comes just from my wife's comment as she filled out the nominating ballots this past week. Said, "You know, we really need some more people." Well, I see a crowd, a church that's pretty well filled this morning, and I realize this all needs context, but she was realizing that, well, she could nominate this one, but he serves this way or this one, and it doesn't quite all come together the way that she wishes it could, and so on and so. But then I also was realizing that we have some balance in the Iwashiki family if Joel goes and Shane is called to stay. So we have a balance there. But what I'm wishing for here, as we could talk about balance in nature and how that we need birds and insects and mammals and so on, but how that if we go to killing off one, we may upset the balance, and then we pay for it because now we don't have enough hawks to take care of the meadow mice that are just going to eat a lot of grains for the farmers and so on. But now we come back to, what does it take for God's program? Well, God knows that, and we need to find the call of God. And one of the noble calls of God is to help in the local church. There are other ways that we can need balance, you know, the balance of getting and giving, and, well, I think you get the picture. Let us kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we've pondered a few things that emanate from you. Thank you for godly fathering and for those who have blessed us, even though imperfectly, have blessed us in leading us to you. And I pray that you would help us all to give proper honor in word and deed. I pray also that you would help us to learn from your character through life, to respond, to be connected. The Holy Spirit may reproduce his fruit, and that we could abide in the vine. And as we think about this, we are in awe again of what you, the Almighty, can do. And then we pray that you would help us to be balanced in our walk, individually, but also collectively, that we could determine to follow you in obedience and carefulness. In Jesus' name, amen.